Our reading this morning comes from the writings of one of my favorite ministers, the Reverend Howard Thurman. All around us, worlds are dying and new worlds are being born. All around us, life is dying and life is being born. The fruit ripens on the tree. The roots are silently at work in the darkness of the earth against a time when there shall be new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit. Such is the growing edge. It is the extra breath from the exhausted lung, the one more thing to try when all else has failed, the upward reach of life when weariness closes in upon all endeavor. This is the basis of hope in moments of despair, the incentive to carry on when times are out of joint and people have lost their reason, the source of confidence when worlds crash and dreams whiten into ash, the birth of the child, life's most dramatic answer to death. This is the growing edge incarnate. Look well to the growing edge. This church, like all churches, means different things to different people. People come here for lots of reasons. Some of you might come here for community or for your kids so they will have some religious grounding. Some of you may come here because it's a place where you can be your full self, or because it's one of the only places where you have the time and space to tap into your deepest sense of self. Others come because you were raised here, and your connection to this church is as deep as anything else in your life. Still others come here because in these confusing and confounding times, being part of an organization that promotes your values helps you resist feeling powerless. Here at the UU Church of Berkeley, our religious tradition is one with no creed, one that honors freedom of belief and conscience. And against this backdrop of theological freedom, we all come to church for our own reasons. Our tradition values knowledge and reason, personal experience and intellect, scripture. But the thing that binds free congregations like ours together is our covenant with one another. I remember a few years ago when I showed examples of covenants to a religious education committee at a congregation I was serving at the time. "We don't need a written covenant," they told me. "We all know we're supposed to do that stuff. Asking people to sign off on something like that is insulting," they told me. And yet, because they didn't have a written covenant that they could point to when things got tough, the community continued to struggle with the same hurtful behavior they had struggled with for decades. Without an articulated mutual understanding of how we will be in relationship with each other, there is no way to call people back into right, loving relationship. We make covenants about how we will treat each other, not because they sound good, not because they look pretty framed hanging on the church walls, but because interacting with each other in times of conflict and anxiety is hard. It's hard to say we're sorry sometimes. It's hard to talk to someone directly rather than complaining about them behind their backs. It can be hard to forgive people, especially when they've done something that's hurt us or if we disagree with them. We know we won't do any of this perfectly. We're human. But it's our commitment to do the hard things, to place what is right ahead of what is comfortable, to seek healthy relationships with others that helps us grow as individuals and as a community. And I think that this is what the late great Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams meant when he said, "Church is the place where we get to practice being human. It's a place where we get to practice humility, caring, commitment, compassion, forgiveness, all of the other things that truly make us human. It's a training ground, because all this practice at church should help equip us to be the very best human beings we can be out in the world beyond these walls. And I think the world outside these walls needs all of us to be the very best human beings we can be right about now. In this time and place when our legislative branch of government seemingly refuses to hold the executive branch accountable to our national covenant, our Constitution, communities committed to living covenantally are extremely important. The words of James Luther Adams, shaped by his experiences in Nazi Germany, ring all too relevant to where this country finds itself today. In his book on being human religiously, he writes, "Human history not only exhibits a singularity that transcends all a priori conceptions of the intellect, it also provides a more complex and spiritual form of conflict than to be found on the level of nature. For history is a theater of conflicts in which the tensions between the will to mutuality and the will to power appear in their most subtle and perverse forms. In short, history is tragic. By this we mean that the perversions and failures in history are associated precisely with the highest creative powers of humanity, and thus with our greatest achievements." This is a time of growing anxiety in a lot of spheres of our lives. The President of the United States has openly indulged neo-Nazis and white supremacists, the ripples of which have brought fear to Charlottesville and now to our own cities of San Francisco and Berkeley this weekend. The President has issued hateful executive orders that will ban the military from hiring new transgender recruits or paying for transition surgery. He has undermined our Constitution by pardoning former Arizona sheriff who was convicted of racial profiling. And lest we all forget, in the midst of everything else, the President is suspected of colluding with Russia to get himself elected. And even apart from national politics, our planet is on a dangerous trajectory towards higher sea levels, temperatures, animal extinctions. And our state continues to struggle with funding the system that educates our children. In times such as these, when humanity is wrestling between the will to mutuality and the will to power, in these times when we are facing the tragic side of history, when it seems like there is no way out of our predicaments, when there are no easy answers, we must not lose hope. We are wise to remember the depths of the human heart, the strength of the human will, and the incredible potential of human imagination. History is filled with examples of the harm caused by humans engaging in conflict, breaking our covenants. But century after century, generation after generation, year after year, humans also achieve again and again wonders once believed impossible. Reverend Lovely put it this way in the words of our chalice lighting today: "Though our knowledge is incomplete, our truth partial, and our love uneven, we believe that new light is ever waiting to break through individual hearts and minds to enlighten our ways, that there is mutual strength in willing cooperation, and that the bonds of love keep open the gates of freedom." Howard Thurman also encourages us to look to the growing edges in our world. All around us, worlds are dying and new worlds are being born. All around us, life is dying and life is being reborn. Such is the growing edge. It is the extra breath from the exhausted lung, the one more thing to try when all else has failed, the upward reach of life when weariness closes in upon all endeavor. Look well to the growing edge. Bound together by the covenantal promises we make and then break and then make again, rooted in our shared purpose to encourage one another to practice being the very best humans that we can be, may we approach our uncertain future not with fear and trembling, but with faith, hope, and love. Faith in the new light ever waiting to break through individual hearts and minds to enlighten our ways. Hope in the power and promise of human imagination, potential, human spirit, and the human capacity to grow and change and improve. Love for one another. Love for the beautiful broken world we share. Love for the journey to transform it and be transformed along with it. May it be so.